Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you this week from Longmont, Colorado. I am your host, Mark Troutman. This educational, personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. Well, this week has been a little tough for me. I have had this crazy cold, which is odd because it's summertime. Usually those happen in the winter, right? And I am also not a person that typically gets sick. And this cold, just I can't shake it. But I decided to go ahead and make this recording, so I apologize if I sound a little stuffy. So at least you know what's going on there. But I wanted to talk in this episode about some changes that have been happening in the credit card rewards space. As you probably are aware, I travel quite a bit, so I make use of a number of these kind of higher-end travel cards for a couple of reasons. One is I really enjoy lounge access when I'm in various airports around the world, and I also enjoy accumulating the points and frequently am able to use those points for hotels especially. That's been a big benefit. And also more recently for flights, especially international flights and even business class flights, which has been great because those tickets, if you ever look at those individually, you'll see that they are quite expensive. So utilizing points to get those business class seats, especially those fancy lay flat cocoon-like seats up front, is really nice. I've been very fortunate to be able to use my points to purchase some of those seats for some of the flights that I have had in the past and coming up. But there have been a couple of kind of big changes that are coming down the line. The first one was with Capital One. They sent out an email to Capital One Venture X cardholders in early June, I think it was June 3rd, and they were talking about their lounge access. The Capital One Venture X card is a premium card that does give you lounge access, and Capital One has a number of their own lounges, their own branded lounges, and they also give you access to the Priority Pass lounge system. The way it works is if you are the primary cardholder, you can get into either the Capital One Lounge or one of these Priority Pass lounges yourself, and you can invite two guests. Well, that has now changed, and it will go into effect beginning February 1st of 2026, so not immediately. You will no longer be allowed to bring guests into the lounge for free. After February 1st, 2026, that cost will be $45 per guest, starting with the first guest. So that's a big change. The other thing they've done is they have taken away the guest passes for the Priority Pass lounge system. So now, as the cardholder, you can still get into the Priority Pass lounges, but you can no longer bring a guest for free. It will also cost you an additional $35 per guest. Now, the other thing that is kind of interesting with this card, and one of the things that I thought was very advantageous, especially for my daughter, for example, is I could add her as an authorized user on the card. She would get her own card, and there was no cost to that. And that would give her full access to the lounge, even without me being present, and also the ability to bring two guests in. So that was quite a big benefit for this card. They have also changed that. So if you want to have an authorized user on your account and give them the ability to have lounge access, again, this would only now be for themselves, no longer for guests. You can do so, but you will need to pay a $125 annual fee for that authorized user to have the lounge access. That's a big change. My daughter and I have had some discussions on how we might approach this. Of course, we don't really need to do anything until February 1st. Let's back up a minute and talk a little bit about what the card is. And these are things that have not changed. It is a $395 annual fee. And a lot of people will say, whoa, $395, that's a lot of money. It does give you 2x points on everything you charge, which is a pretty good benefit. So you are able to accumulate points quicker than just 1 point per dollar charged. So that's good. But the $395 annual fee, you need to look at it from the standpoint of what are you getting for that. So $300 comes back to you in the form of a travel credit, provided that you book through the Capital One travel portal, which is a little bit of a pain relative to the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And we're going to talk about that card in a little bit. But you do need to book through their portal. And usually what I'll do is I'll book maybe a low-cost flight through there, although I'm usually not a fan of booking flights through travel portals. Because if I need to make any changes, I'd rather do it directly with the airline and not have to go to the travel agent, in essence, which would be Capital One in this case, to make those changes. So I do like to use it for things instead, like hotels or rental car, for example. And I've been able to get that utilization of that $300 pretty easily every year. So in my mind, it's not a $395 card. It's really a $95 card once you net out that $300 travel credit that is pretty easy to use. The other thing that you get is after every anniversary, you get 10,000 points put into your account. And that really offsets the $95. 10,000 points is worth generally more than $95 in usage. So you can kind of translate that into other uses that are going to exceed that $95. So the 10,000 points really offsets the $95. So effectively, for me, I kind of view this as a free card because of those two things. Now, going back to after February 1st, what would I plan to do? Now, one option would be just to add a authorized user and pay the $125, then they can have access to the lounge. You could just, if you travel together, for instance, you could just pay the $45. You would have to do that. What is that? About 3x before the $125 made sense to pay. Of course, you would need to be together because the primary cardholder would have to be there to get that person in as a guest. So if that person was traveling on their own, maybe it makes sense to pay the $125. Here's the other option. Just have them get their own card. And that's probably what we will do for the same reasons, because it's pretty easy to offset that $395 annual fee by using the travel portal for $300 of credit and then getting the extra 10,000 points. And what someone mentioned to me as well is you could also refer that person. And the referral program for the Capital One Venture X currently is 25,000 points. So if you refer somebody to the card, you will get a 25,000 point bonus in your account. So there's another benefit there. I think that's probably what we're going to do. We will certainly wait and see and decide later. We don't need to really make any changes until February 1st. But I will say that I understand why they're doing this. So we recently went to a wedding down in Florida for my niece's wedding, Jesse, Rose, and Connor. Congratulations, you guys. And we went to the Capital One Lounge. We have one in Denver. Denver is our home airport, and there is a very nice Capital One Lounge there, and we utilize it quite extensively. I probably go there, I would say, at least a half a dozen times a year. And when we got to the airport, someone had alerted me that you can check on the app to see if there is a waiting list for the lounge. And previously, I had just gone to the lounge and found out there's a waiting list and put my name on it. But then someone told me you can actually go on the app and put your name on the waiting list even before you get there. And you can do that once you get to security, for example. You do have to be there within 10 minutes if your name is called to get in. So you don't want to do it too early. But when we got there, there was a waiting list. It seems to be quite popular, especially the one in Denver. And certainly people are bringing in guests. So that does affect the capacity of the lounge. So I do understand why Capital One is implementing these changes. And that is also the case for the Priority Pass lounges. I've found them to be quite busy lately. So I understand why they are backing off of the guests on that one. And just to give you a heads up on where their lounges are, I have them written down here. And Denver, as I mentioned, there's one at DFW, so Dallas-Fort Worth. That one also is very nice, and I've also had a waitlist situation there. There are the two in Washington, D.C., DCA and AID, Las Vegas, JFK, and they are adding one in LaGuardia as well. They're very nice lounges. I think it's worthwhile to have the card if the lounge is in your home airport. And I am going to keep that card, and we just have to figure out the workaround for my daughter. And like I said, she'll probably just get her own card. She is certainly old enough to have her own cards, which she does. In this case, it was previously beneficial to just make her an authorized user. And that card she carries, and if she needs to make a purchase for me for my house or something like that, she just uses that card, and I don't have to reimburse her, so it makes life easy. But I think she will be getting her own card, and I'll probably refer her to that card. This week, there was some big changes announced for the Chase Sapphire Reserve card, and these are quite extensive. So Chase Sapphire Reserve has been out for a while, and Chase has two Sapphire cards. There's the Reserve card and the Preferred card, and these are the individual cards, not the business cards. And the Chase Sapphire Reserve, I have really enjoyed this card for a number of reasons. One is it gives you currently, and this is going to change, but currently 3x points on travel. And as I've mentioned, I've done a number of cruises, and cruise fits into that travel category. And some of these cruises are not inexpensive, so that 3x points is very beneficial on those cruise purchases. That is changing. So that's a big negative for me. So this information came out this week. Chase Sapphire Reserve is doing a lot of changes to its card, and they go into effect Monday, June 23rd. So anyone who gets the card before June 23rd, and you have a couple of days to do it, you're kind of under the old rules until October 25th of this year. So until October 25th of this year, if you already have the card, or if you get it prior to June 23rd, you will be under the old rule system. Anyone who gets the card on or after June 23rd of 2025, you're under the new program. And the new program, and for everyone that already has the card, effective October 26th, the annual fee increases substantially. It goes up from $550 to $795. That is a huge increase, a 45% increase. Now, Chase is saying you're getting a lot of new benefits out of this. And for some people, that may be true. For me, I'm not so sure. So I'm really going to have to think about this card going forward. But for now, the changes don't go into effect for me as an existing cardholder until October 26th. If your annual fee hits your account before then, you will still be charged the $550 if you already have the card. If your annual fee gets charged after that date, you will be on the new pricing, which is $795. For me, that is in December. So in December, I am going to be hit with the $795 annual fee. Now, similar to Capital One, there is a $300 travel credit for charges on the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And the nice thing about the way that they implement this credit is that you don't have to go through their travel portal. You just charge something that falls into the travel category, and they automatically reimburse you up to the $300. Even if there are multiple small charges, until you hit the $300, you'll keep getting credits until you cap out at the $300. So I really look at both of these annual fees, the old 550 and the new 795, because that's a pretty easy hurdle to overcome, is that it's really more like 250 under the old system and 495 under the new system. So that's kind of how I view this, because I find it pretty easy to use that $300. In fact, it's usually in the first month or two that that gets implemented for my usage. Now, the other things that are changing are kind of significant. So let's start off with the lounges. Now, Chase Sapphire has its own lounges, and they are not doing what Capital One is doing. You can still bring in two guests into their lounge. So that's a big benefit. Now, they don't have as many lounges, but I would presume that they are going to start expanding just like Capital One has, because they're in competition with each other. So let me list out the lounges that they have. They do not have one in Denver, unfortunately, but they do have them in Boston, LaGuardia and JFK, just like Capital One, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Diego, Las Vegas is coming soon, and LAX, Los Angeles, also coming soon. And I've been to the San Diego one, pretty nice. I enjoyed that, but they don't have as many, but at least you can still bring in two guests for free. So that's good. They also give you Priority Pass lounge access, the same Priority Pass system that Capital One gives you, and they are not taking away the two guest passes that you can have when you go into a Priority Pass lounge. So that is a benefit. So that is going to have to go into my calculation of whether I keep this card. Now, their authorized user fees are $75 currently and are going to increase to $195. So I don't have any authorized users on my card. My daughter actually has her own Chase Sapphire Preferred, I believe. Now, that does not give you lounge access, but again, if she's with me, I can bring her in as a guest, so no problem there. So for their lounges, I will be using a couple this year. I know I'm going to be using the Philadelphia one. Like I said, I've used the San Diego one. I have not flown through LaGuardia or JFK. I typically fly through Newark when I go through the New York area. So we'll see about that. But I do like the fact that the Priority Pass lounge system, which I have used around the world quite a bit, I still get the two free guests. So that is a benefit. Now, to offset this additional increase in fees, Chase has said, well, we're giving you a whole bunch of benefits, which they claim provide $2,700 in additional value. It's true if you use these. Now, a couple of these are what I would say kind of bougie and not really what I would use. There is a $500 annual credit on the Edit, which is luxury hotels. And I believe you have to stay two nights. So it's $250 a night. So it's really just going to reduce the cost of those hotels, because I'm sure they're more than $250 a night. I don't think that's going to be something that I will use. I typically like to use Hyatt hotels, and I like to use my Chase points, transfer them over to Hyatt and stay at the Hyatt hotels. That's one of the reasons I really enjoy this card, because I like to create points, especially, like I said, in that travel category, which is going away, which is a huge disappointment to me. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, what's happening there. You also get a $300 annual dining credit. I believe it's $150 every 6 months to their exclusive table restaurants, which in major cities, I believe there's a number of them, but in my little town of Longmont, there aren't any. I know there's some in Denver, but these are not the kind of restaurants that I typically would go to. They also are giving you a $300 StubHub credit and Viagogo credit as well for concert and event tickets. I don't buy tickets through StubHub, so that really isn't a benefit. They're giving you a complimentary Apple TV and Apple Music subscription. Now, I do not have those subscriptions, but I do have Amazon Music, and I may consider canceling my Amazon Music, which I pay, I think, because I pay annually. It's probably around a little over $100 a year. And if I get Apple Music for free, maybe that's a little bit of a benefit. So maybe I could call that a $100 benefit to me. They're also giving you $10 a month in Peloton credits. I don't have a Peloton, but if I did, that could be pretty valuable, I guess, $120 there. They're making a pretty big change into the way that you can redeem points on their portal, and I think it's actually a negative change because currently, as a Chase Sapphire Reserve member, I guess you would say, you can go on their travel portal and purchase things through the portal, and you get a 1.5 multiplier on your points towards travel purchases, and it's just a flat 1.5. Now they're saying it's going to be a 1 point, but there will be certain things that you can get up to 2 points on. Now, for current cardholders, that doesn't go into effect immediately, actually, on the points that you already have or will have accrued through October. You're going to get the benefit of either the 1.5 or the boost up to 2, whichever is better for, I believe, the next 2 years, all the way out to October of 2027. So it really doesn't affect people that have the card now. But I think going forward, it doesn't sound like it's as good. I don't book a lot of travel through their portal because I find it's better to transfer points out to partners and do it that way. I get more of a benefit that way. So this really, while it's a kind of a downgrade in my opinion, it doesn't really affect me that much. They are going to give you IHG1 Rewards Platinum Elite status. I don't really stay at IHG hotels too much because, like I said, I usually stay at the Hyatts with the points redemption as a partner. But I guess that could be beneficial if I was staying there, but I wouldn't add any value to that necessarily. And they also give you $10 for Lyft every month. That was a new thing that they introduced not too long ago. I think it was within the last year. And I definitely have used that quite a bit. I don't use it every month, but I would say that might be maybe a $50 to $60 benefit per year for me based on my usage. They also are giving you DoorDash credit, $5 a month. I don't use DoorDash. DoorDash non-restaurant credit, $10 twice per month, I think. So $20 a month. I don't use that. And then what I think is interesting, and I'm going to get back to some of the other changes in a minute because there's a number of them. And it really is crazy. And I will actually put a link to an article where I found a very good table that kind of compares everything. And I'll mention that in a moment. But one of the things, both Capital One and Chase, and you can see where they're trying to go with these cards, is they're really trying to attract high spenders. Because once you breach $75,000 a year in purchases on the card, it kind of unlocks some additional bonuses. Now, that's not me. I don't charge that much on my card. But you can see that that's kind of what they're trying to cater to. And I also believe that Chase Sapphire Reserve in particular, not so much Capital One, is really going after the American Express Platinum member. Because a lot of their changes seem very similar to what American Express currently has in place. And American Express now has alluded to the fact that they are going to make some big changes in the fall. And what's interesting is American Express always likes to be kind of like the premier card, and they've always had the highest annual fee. Well, Chase has just eclipsed them in the annual fee category because the American Express Platinum card has a $695 annual fee, and now Chase's is $795. So I fully expect that American Express Platinum is going to go north of 795, and some people have even alluded to the fact that it may break the $1,000 mark. I have that card, and I would have a tough time justifying a fee of that much. But for now, I do have that card, the American Express Platinum card. I literally have all three of these. I signed up for them primarily for the bonuses, but also to gather some points in their system. But I'm really going to have to think about, do I want to continue to have all of these cards? Which one is most beneficial for me? So I do have a little time. I will definitely keep the Capital One Venture X. I think that's kind of a no-brainer. It's pretty inexpensive. As long as that $395 fee net of the $300 brings it down to $95 plus the 10,000 points, that's pretty much a free card in my mind for my usage. So no problem keeping that unless they change their annual fee. We have to see. But for now, that's a keeper. The Chase Sapphire Reserve, I have up until October or really December when my annual fee kicks in to decide how I want to do this one, if I want to keep it or not. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I could downgrade or could get the Chase Sapphire Preferred, which previously you could not have both. And now they say that you can have both. So it'll be interesting to see if there is a play in switching and even potentially getting a bonus for the Chase Sapphire Preferred and then potentially letting the reserve lapse. I don't know. We're going to have to see because there's so many changes going on. The chart I came across was at thefrequentmiler.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes to this. And it's a really nice comparison chart. So we know that the annual fee went up from $550 to $795. The additional card or authorized user fee goes up from $75 to $195. Previously, you were getting 3x points in kind of a very broad travel category. So that included flights, hotels, it would include parking, it would include buses, trains, cruises, pretty much anything related to travel, you got 3x. Well, they're changing that. And that, to me, is a big negative. They're increasing flights and hotels from 3x to 4x, which is nice. And that is outside of the travel portal. So that's just booking flights and hotels directly. You get 4x points now. That's okay. But I get 5x points on flights with my American Express Platinum card. So that's not really a huge benefit. Hotels, I will typically, or I've been lucky enough to have enough points to transfer over to Hyatt and use those points. So I haven't really been buying too many hotels with my card. But if I do, 4x is not bad because that's probably the best one that I have out there. Unless I use one of the hotel cards directly, like I have a Hyatt card, I think I get 8x points if I purchase a room at Hyatt with my Hyatt cards. I don't know. Maybe that's not the greatest thing. Every other travel category other than flights and hotels gets dropped down to 1 point. So that's a big bummer. Like I said, for cruises. Now, I was reading when I was, you know, kind of doing my homework for this episode and really my homework for what am I going to do with this stuff? I came across that the Chase Inc. Preferred business card is 3x points on travel. I believe that is the case for all travel items. So if you have that card, maybe that's a workaround because if you have the Inc. business card, you can aggregate those points and bring them over to your Sapphire Reserve or Sapphire Preferred card. And maybe that's a way to still get 3x points on travel other than flights and hotels. We'll see. The dining 3x doesn't change, but I get 4x points dining with the American Express Gold card, which I still have. I was going to cancel that one, but I called the retention desk and got a bonus offer that made it worthwhile to keep it for an additional year because their annual fee went up. I think it went from $225 to $325, which was kind of a big boost, and I was going to cancel it, but they gave me a retention offer that seemed to be good enough to keep it, but I get 4x dining on that card. On their travel portal, you used to get on hotels and cars 10x points. Now that's dropping to 8x points. And if you use their travel portal for flights, you will now get 8x points instead of 5. But again, I'm not a huge fan of booking flights through the travel portals because if there's any issue with the flight, I want to deal directly with the airline. I don't want the airline to say, oh, well, you booked this through a travel portal. You're going to need to talk to them about this. I'd rather just book the flights directly with the airline. But at 8x, maybe 4 flights that I'm not as worried about, maybe it's worth it. I'll have to see. And then other travel, if you book it through the portal, you do get 8x. So that's potentially beneficial. But again, I don't really use the travel portal that much. With Lyft, at least through September of 2027, you get 5x points. I have associated my Lyft account with this Chase card because I do get the $10 a month automatic credit and I get 5 times. So that's great, but I don't probably charge enough to make it worthwhile as the only reason for this card, but it's a nice benefit. And then some of the other things, like I said, that whole where you used to be able to redeem 1.5 cents per point through their portal, now it's going to be somewhere between 1 and 2 cents, probably, my guess, most likely 1 cent instead of the 1.5, and maybe occasionally they'll bump it up to 2 for some special things. All of the transfer partners remain the same. You still get the guests with the priority pass. That's 2 guests with priority pass. You still get 2 guests with the Sapphire Lounge, which, again, they don't have too many, but they do have a couple. Like I said, you get the IHG premium status, and that's through the end of 27, so that's nice. The Apple TV subscription, the Apple Music subscription, and then those exclusive tables and some of those other things that don't really affect me. You also get, like I said, the travel credit each year, which is super easy to use. You just charge it on your card, you get reimbursed. That's great. As with pretty much all of these cards, you get every 4 years, $120 credit for global entry or TSA PreCheck, but that's pretty common among all of these cards. And there are, like I said, some additional benefits, and I won't go into them if you spend over $75,000 on the card. But again, that's not me. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to the American Express Platinum card. And I'm hoping they don't really boost the annual fee because it's already tough to justify it at $695. Off the top of my head, I'll kind of give you my justification for that card. So it's $695 annual fee. I get 5 times points on flights, which is what I typically will use to book my flights. I'll use the American Express Platinum card to get the 5 times points, which has been pretty beneficial because I've been buying quite a bit of flights lately when I do pay for the flight as opposed to using points. The exchange partners, where you can move points from your card system to an outside place, I really like the Chase transfer partners because I really like the Hyatt transfer partner. I've gotten a lot of use out of that. You get a lot of mileage, I guess you would say, with your points with Hyatt. For instance, you can get rooms typically in the 8,000 or 9,000 point per night range. Even fancy hotels, I've paid maybe 15,000 points a night, but these are really nice rooms. And you would think that that's equivalent to like $150, but maybe you're getting a $300 or $400 room. So that's been great. And then on the airline side with Chase, you do get United and Southwest, and I've been able to utilize that quite a bit. So on the domestic side, I find the Chase transfer partners for airlines is really good. And I find that Capital One and American Express, the airline partners tend to be more international related. And now that I am doing some more international trips, I've been able to use some of the points for that, and that's been working out. But going back to the American Express card at $695, the way I've justified that, well, initially was I think I got 175,000 bonus points for signing up for that card. So that was an easy decision to make for year one, for sure. And then keeping it for the following year, a couple of the credits that I get that I find very useful are that you get a $200 a year airline travel credit, and you have to select one airline. So I fly United a lot. I selected that as my airline. You can make a change once a year. And anytime you purchase what they call incidentals on that airline, they will basically just reimburse you until you hit the $200. So that could be things for like Wi-Fi or food on the plane, but it doesn't include buying airline tickets or even upgrades, like upgrading from economy to economy plus, for example. But what you can do is you can move that $200 over to, in United's case, over to the United Travel Bank, and it codes as an incidental. And then it gives you a little bit more flexibility on how you can use those dollars. They also don't expire as soon, I believe. They're either lifetime or 5 years or something like that, but it's much more than, you know, use it or lose it in 1 year. And I have been able to use that to purchase tickets, for example, flights. So it gives you a little bit more ability to use those dollars. So I'm able to use that $200 every year pretty easily. So that brings that $695 now down to $495. The next thing I have on that card charged every month is I have a subscription to the Wall Street Journal, and it's quite expensive. I want to say it's $40 a month. For many years, I was able to get kind of the introductory or the, you know, the inexpensive version. But after being a reader for many, many years, you can no longer do that. And then also, I kind of feel like I should be supporting the Wall Street Journal because I really enjoy the paper and I'm okay with paying the $40. However, if I could get a discount, that would be great. So the American Express card gives you, the Platinum card, gives you a $20 monthly credit to various subscriptions. And I just know for a fact that the Wall Street Journal is one of those. So every month I get $20 back against my $40 subscription. So that's $240. So that's totally worth it for me because I was already paying the $40. So the $20 is definitely kind of money in the bank. So now what was I at? $495 minus $240. So that's $255, if I'm doing the math correct in my head. And then, let's see, they give you $20 a month in Uber credits. I have been able to do that. So basically what I've done is my Lyft account is associated with my Chase Sapphire Reserve, where I get $10 a month. And my Uber account is associated with my American Express Platinum card, which gives me $20 a month. And the Gold card actually gives me another $10 a month. So that was another reason to consider keeping that card. So I get $30 between those two cards on my Uber account. I probably use that, I would say, at least 5 or 6 months out of the year. So for the Platinum card, that's another $100. So now we're, what, down to $155. So we're bringing that annual fee down with things that I would have spent anyway. And then one other thing you do get is you get Clear. So they will pay for your Clear annual membership fee. So that is kind of like TSA PreCheck, but it's a separate line. We have one in Denver. It hasn't been really great in Denver lately. I find that the TSA PreCheck has been going pretty much just as fast. In fact, when we went to the wedding in June, my daughter does not have Clear. I have Clear. She went through the TSA PreCheck line. I went through the Clear line and she beat me. So it really isn't a huge benefit, at least in Denver. Although I think I was in, I want to say it was San Diego recently. I think it was when I was coming back from California, and the Clear line there was substantially shorter than TSA PreCheck. I do have that. It is very nice when it is a speedy line, and a number of times I've used it and it's been quite fast. I just find in Denver, it's just hasn't been worth it lately. So I may even just go to the TSA PreCheck next time and not even use my Clear in Denver, because so far it hasn't been that great in Denver. But I've also been hitting that airport on pretty busy days. Anyway, I think that's $159 a year. Now, would I pay $159 for that? No, I wouldn't. But maybe I'd pay $40. I've been able to kind of justify most of the American Express Platinum fee with just those kind of credits that I get. And they do have quite a number of lounges, their own Centurion lounges. Now, what's interesting is there's one in Denver. So I haven't used it that much because I like the Capital One Lounge, but they do have one in Denver. So that's nice. They have one in Dallas-Fort Worth. They have one in DCA. That's one of the Washington, DC airports. LAX, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Philadelphia, JFK, LaGuardia. And some of those are overlapping the Chase and the Capital One lounges, but where they have lounges that Capital One and Chase don't have any is Atlanta, Charlotte, IAH, what is that? Houston, I think, right? Miami, San Francisco, Seattle, and they have two coming, one in Newark, which is nice, and one in Salt Lake City. So the downside to their lounges, very much like the Capital One lounges now, is that it's only gets in the primary cardholder, no guests. And the guest fee is $50. So when I'm traveling by myself, not a problem. If I'm traveling with other people, not as beneficial. But I have used their lounges on occasion, especially when I've been traveling by myself. So that's a benefit. And, you know, it does have some value to it. But again, we'll see what they come down with in the fall. They've talked about, and man, I hope they don't try to break the $1,000 a year barrier, because that's just going to be, I think they're going to lose a lot of people. If they do that, they're probably going to have to be somewhere close to the Chase Sapphire Reserve fee of $7.95. Maybe they go $8.95. I don't know, because they always want to be top dog when it comes to annual fees. For some reason, the higher the annual fee, the more, you know, prestigious the card is, I guess. Anyway, so we'll see what happens there. Hopefully they add some more credits that make it worthwhile, at least ones that I can use. So we will see how all that goes. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about these pretty big changes that are coming down the pike. And again, caveat to all of this, it's great to earn points, get all these benefits, get all these credits. But the only way this works is if you pay your card off in full every month. Use it like a debit card or a charge card. There is no benefit to this game if you are carrying a balance, because these cards are considered kind of the premier travel rewards cards, and their interest rates on outstanding balances are really, really high. I haven't even looked at them because I don't carry a balance, but I think they're in the above 20% per year. So that is a huge amount to pay. And there really is no benefit in playing this points game and trying to get these benefits if you're carrying a balance. So if you have a balance, pay it off before you even enter this kind of world of travel points. But after that, I find them to be quite beneficial. Do you need all three? Probably not. Pick one that serves your purpose best. Right now, I do have all three. I'm probably going to have to wean off of one, maybe two of them. We'll see. I will certainly update you if I make that decision. But for now, because the Capital One card, like I said, I'm going to keep that one. I can justify that. The Chase Sapphire Reserve, I really have up until my annual fee in December to make this decision. The American Express one, we'll have to see what they come down with. I think I just paid my annual fee on that one, so I really have a whole year to think about that one. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But man, these are some pretty big changes. And I think, I don't want to call it bait and switch, but I do believe they got a lot of people into these cards with the bonuses and the guest access to the lounges. And even with American Express, they used to allow you to bring guests into the Centurion Lounge. They nixed that. So that's kind of what opened the door to Capital One to nix it. And Chase still allows you to bring them in. So good for them. But I think what happened was the lounges, and I've noticed this, have gotten really, really busy. And so now they're like, hey, if you want to keep coming to these lounges, you're going to have to get your own card. Some people might view that as bait and switch or enticing people to kind of peek behind the door, enjoy it, and then say, hey, this is great, but you know, you're going to have to get your own card going forward. Not so much Chase Sapphire Reserve, because you can still bring in the guests, but they do have to be with you, not like an authorized user. So I'd have to look in to see if the authorized user on the reserve card gives them that benefit of the guest passes and so forth. I think it does, but don't quote me on that. So that remains to be seen. But again, that went from, what, $75 to $195. So that's a pretty big fee to pay for just lounge access. But I don't know. See how it goes. Well, that's it for me for this week. Hopefully I'll be back soon and this cold gets better. I apologize for the raspiness of my voice. Hopefully everything came through. I was glad to have gotten through recording this without coughing or anything like that. So maybe we're getting better. I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope you are having a wonderful summer. Take care. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. If you would like me to answer a question on the show, please send it to mark@marksmoneymind.com and put podcast question in the subject line. Let me know your first name or let me know if you would like to remain anonymous. Also, I would appreciate it if you would recommend this show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next time on the Mark's Money Mind Show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. Now, for the all-important disclaimer, this show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.